Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Your letters about our show on sexual harassment and more coming up later in the hour. But right now, if we can't talk about weight with our doctors, who can we talk about it with? Now, see if this fits with your experience. At your annual exam, you get on the scale and you notice that, I don't know, 8 or 9 pounds have crept on since the last time you did this. Your doctor notices that your blood pressure and maybe your cholesterol have inched up too. This would be an opportune moment for a compassionate but candid conversation about your weight. But the last time your doctor brought this up with a patient, she bit his head off. So she says nothing. And even though you think this might be some good advice, you just want to get the appointment over with and get out of there. Research studies and experience tell us that both doctors and patients shy away from discussions about weight. And today we're going to talk about the cause and the effect of that. And your experience with this would be really meaningful. Have you felt judged or shamed about your weight in an interaction with a physician? Tell us what the result of that was. And physicians, and I've been hearing from some of you on Twitter, is this a subject that you approach very gingerly? I mean, do you really hesitate to bring up weight with your patients, even though this could have an impact on a lot of their other health factors? What's your experience with this? 800-242-2828, 651-227-6000. I'm on Twitter, at CarrieNPR. Patricia Neese is with us. She's an advocate on weight bias and a national board member of the Obesity Action Coalition. And she's with us today from D.C. Hey, Patty, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Dr. William Dietz is with us. He's a physician and director of the Global Center for Prevention and Wellness at George Washington University. He also happens to be in D.C. And Dr. Dietz, welcome to you. May I call you William for the rest of the show? Is that all right?
I would prefer that you call me Bill.
Okay, Bill. Bill it is. So, Patty, you've been there in a doctor's office, and you've said that you felt judged about a weight issue that you have dealt with much of your life. Tell me what has happened in these interactions where you just feel like the physician is not on your side and that you're being shamed somehow.
Well, I think probably the best way to tell you is to give you an example.
Okay.
I was having a severe hip pain, and I went to see an orthopedist. And before I could even tell him what was wrong, he said, "Let me cut to the chase. You need to lose weight." And I said, "Well, I'm surprised this pain is occurring now, because at the time I'd already lost about 70 pounds. And he said, "Well, you need to lose more weight. Have you considered weight loss surgery?" And he proceeded to berate me about my weight for the next 5 to 10 minutes, and eventually diagnosed me with something he termed obesity pain, which isn't really a diagnosis. He never examined me. The only time he touched me was when he shook my hand on his way out of the door. He refused to look beyond my weight to figure out what was wrong. And here's what he missed. He missed, I knew that I had some minor scoliosis, which is a curvature of your spine. Mm-hmm. What I didn't know is it had progressed to a severe state to the point that I had a 60-degree curve in my spine.
Jeez.
And that's what was causing my hip pain. But he never got to that point because he couldn't see past my weight. I was in tears at the end of the appointment, and he said, "See, you're even crying because of the pain your weight is causing." Not why I was crying.
Wow.
It was how he was treating me that caused me to cry, honestly. And, you know, experiences like that make you not want to ever see another doctor again.
Right. Bill, I know you've had Patty come in and talk with medical school students, and I'm sure she's related experiences like that. What do you want these students to understand about what's happening in an interaction like that and what's not happening?
I think the first problem is that physicians, and it begins with students, don't know how to open a conversation about obesity.
Why?
Is that obesity is among the most stigmatizing conditions in our society, right up there next to race. And physicians share the same bias that the public shares in this problem. So physicians and patients, for that matter, are awkward. They do this little dance around weight, whereas a simple question to a patient who might be a physician might be seeing for the first time would be, "Are you concerned about your weight? Or what kind of problems has your weight caused you?" Rather than, in Patty's case, diving right into berating her for her weight. And that kind of, I think it's important for students and physicians, and for that matter, all sorts of providers for obesity, to understand that their attitudes about obesity affect the quality of their care and the likelihood that a patient will return, will navigate with their physician what to do. And will reduce the likelihood that that patient will come back for further care.
Patty, what do you think of that approach? Are you concerned about your weight? It is a more open and kind of affirmative question, but I can feel sensitivity underneath that as well.
There can be, and it depends on the individual person. I mean, as Bill said, I have suffered from obesity my entire life. I don't remember a time when I wasn't overweight. So I've had a lifetime of being bullied and ridiculed, discriminated against, all because of the way I look. So when you approach a patient with that sort of background, it's not surprising that they have a negative reaction to any conversation about it. But I think it does come down to the physician or healthcare provider's approach. If they approach the patient respectfully and with some compassion and understanding of what that patient has likely been through in their life, I think it makes all the difference in the world. Asking an open-ended question like Bill suggested, or even simply, "Would you mind if we discussed your weight for a little while?" is a great opener, because it allows the patient to make the choice about whether or not they're willing to talk about it.
That makes sense.
Now, the physician has to be ready to accept a no answer.
Right.
Because some people are not in a position emotionally or for whatever reason at some points in their lives. They're just not ready. They're not ready and able to deal with the issue at that moment in time.
Let's go to some of our callers here, because we have a full phone lines here. We have a lot of people that want to get in. Eric says on Twitter, though, "I try to discuss it in terms of risk. High blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease risk, even certain types of cancer." And then Eric says, "As a physician, I also struggle with my own weight, and I try to empathize with patients about how hard it is to make time for a healthy lifestyle." To the phones here, to Bernadette in St. Cloud. Bernadette, you're a doctor. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
How do you deal with this?
Well, you know, I just look at it as part of what I have to do to do the best I can do for my patients. So I think your previous callers have said it's the approach are correct. I think I find a way to open up the discussion. And if the patient is willing, we tend to have long talks about it. If they're not, then, you know, I will leave them alone if they really aren't ready to talk. But most of the time, we find ourselves talking about it and even laughing about it. And I tell them, you know, I have to do my job, so I would be remiss if I didn't talk to you about one more problem. And I think you probably know what that is. And I usually ask them, "Do you know?" And they say, "Yeah, my weight." And we talk, and I said, "I have problems with this myself, just like the other person said." And we start coming up with ways to attack the problem. The only thing that I have difficulty with and I feel bad about is some of my colleagues, because I'm an obstetrician gynecologist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have women who have issues with infertility, and there are a lot of people in the infertility community and Minnesota, because I work in Minnesota, but, you know, maybe other places, who will not work with women when they're overweight because they're going to present a high-risk pregnancy if they help them to get pregnant.
I see.
The problem with that, and I find that to be discriminatory, we take care of women who are obese and pregnant all the time. And you can't predict what the problems are going to be. So So I have found physicians in the community who won't do that, so I tend to refer patients to those physicians because it's important to everyone, whether you're obese or not, to be able to have children, and you can't discriminate and say, because you're overweight, I'm not going to help you to have children.
Bernadette, you've brought up something I wanted to raise with Bill Dietz as well. Thanks for the call. Bill, I was reading a study out of Texas that asked not OBGYNs like Bernadette, but primary care docs about their attitudes towards obese patients. And what she was describing as with the fertility physicians, well, this is going to be high risk. I don't want to deal with these patients. One of these studies said that physicians will say it's just a big waste of time. They're not going to be healthy, and there's really nothing I can do about that. Obese patients are annoying. To the misconceptions about symptoms that they're attributing, as with Patty, to obesity and not to something else. Do you see the spectrum of reactions here that all add up to more judgment, right?
Yes, I think that blaming patients and shaming them for this problem is common. Depending on who you sample, the frequency of that varies. But I think it's important for providers to remember that patients don't choose to become overweight. It's a consequence of a variety of factors, both environmental and biologic. And I want to insert a comment here because I think when we talk about obese people, we're talking about an identity. That's a label. That's not the same as talking about a person with obesity, which indicates that this is a person with a disease. And separating the person from the disease begins to reduce the stigma associated with obesity because it's perceived differently by both patients and by providers. But I think that, and I do believe that stigmatization and bias is at the heart of many of the encounters, the adverse encounters between providers and patients, because many physicians and other providers blame the patient for uh-huh. their obesity. Uh-huh. They say, you know, this is something that you could have prevented. Well, maybe. And this is what you need to do. You need to become more active and eat better. Well, patients with obesity know that. That's not news. And what is critical is for providers to engage in a shared decision-making process. That is, to begin where the patient starts, not to impose their perception of what the patient needs to do.
Oh, that seems like really good advice, to start where the patient is. Emily in Minneapolis called to say, I've had interactions with a doctor, and she said, you're too heavy, and that was it, and it was very abrupt. Just being told by a doctor isn't enough. Had another doctor talk to me about diet, and that was more helpful for me. I want to lose weight, and having conversations was helpful. To Mia in St. Paul. Hi, Mia. So glad you called. What's your story with this?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure.
I was just thinking about an experience I had. I have a hormone disorder called polycystic ovarian syndrome. One of the symptoms is weight gain and difficulty losing weight. And so I just remember as a teenager having a lot of doctors say, well, these problems are caused by weight gain, which is difficult to ameliorate with your condition. So the solution is to lose weight. And it was kind of this really unhelpful sort of cyclical advice that, you know, felt like something that they were saying was part of my condition is also somehow my fault and I need to be able to control it. So
have you found a physician, Mia, who takes it further than that and has actually been, you know, influential in helping you address weight and the other issue that you're trying to come at?
Yeah, I feel like every doctor that I've seen about the PCOS, the polycystic ovarian syndrome, has been increasingly helpful, which is great. And I think, you know, talking about it as what it is, a hormonal disorder, and not just the symptoms, you know, the weight gain and the other symptoms.
Right. I'm really glad you called. Patty, curious about what you hear in Mia's story there.
I'm not hearing anything new that I haven't heard 100 or 1,000 times before. I mean, many doctors don't offer, they tell their patients they need to lose weight, as if that comes as news to the patient.
Right.
And they don't offer any support. And one of the thing in doing that, and if a doctor doesn't feel qualified to offer that support, he or she can always have in their back pocket recommendations to some specialists who can do that. There are registered dietitians that can help. There are obesity medicine specialists that can help. And they need to have some of those. If they're not able or willing to develop the tools to help patients with their condition, they need to be able to know who to refer them to.
Ellen says on Twitter, last time my doctor fussed about weight, the solution was eating less. As a then triathlete, I was already tracking my food and exercising 5 times a week. And then Ellen adds, she saw it as a personal flaw, not a medical one. Looking for another doc now. Patty, I want to come back to you on, I know you found a physician who's been very helpful to you. What are some of the clues, I guess, that you're looking for in that initial visit to a doctor that you think, now this is somebody I think who's got the right idea about what I'm after here?
Right. I have had the very good fortune of finding Dr. Scott Kahan, who heads the National Center for Weight and Wellness here in D.C. And what he provided and what I would look for now, because this was the first time I'd ever experienced this atmosphere, it's a totally non-judgmental and accepting atmosphere. He and his staff, the entire office, accept that they understand the complexities of obesity. They know that almost everyone with excess weight has tried and tried and tried to lose that weight and just hasn't been successful yet, probably because they haven't had the right tools at their disposal. Mm-hmm. So, and by creating a non-judgmental atmosphere, you can actually, it fosters real behavior change. You can be honest about how you eat, what you eat, when you eat, things like that, and everything that affects your weight. And without that non-judgmental and accepting atmosphere, you hold back. You may not be totally honest with your physician.
Patty Neese is with us in this conversation about conversations that don't happen, by the way, often in doctor's offices. I started the discussion saying, if you can't talk to your doctor about your weight, well, who can you talk to them with? And then I'm hearing from physicians who say, yep, super sensitive. And from you saying, look, the minute I got in there and we started this discussion, I could feel judgment and shaming. So we're talking about how to begin these conversations, what doctors ought to know from your perspective and as patients, what you want to hear. But also the work, I guess, you have to do as you come into the examining room. And this is a collaboration with your physician, the things you ought to know and understand about that. Patty with us as a national board member of the Obesity Action Coalition. And Dr. Bill Dietz is with us. He's a physician and director of the Global Center for Prevention and Wellness at George Washington University. I want to hear from you today. Have you felt judged or shamed about your weight in an interaction with a physician? What was the result of that? I mean, what happened as a consequence of that? And physicians, is this a subject that you approach very gingerly? What's your experience been with this? 651-227-6000 and on Twitter at CarrieNPR. I am hearing from some physicians on Twitter who say, well, I'm not the slimmest of people, and so I feel like a hypocrite in bringing this up. I think there's got to be a better way to approach that. And Bill, maybe I'm going to come to you before we take another call. If as a physician, you've also dealt with a weight problem, how do you bring this up in a way that will form an alliance with the patient around it?
Well, I think one strategy is to just share how difficult it is. That physician has undoubtedly tried to lose weight and knows some things that may have worked for him or her and could share those with the patient. There is a controversy in the literature about whether the provider's weight affects their ability to give care. And there are some there is some suggestion that providers who themselves are overweight or who have who are not particularly physically active or don't have a good diet are less likely to counsel about those issues in the same way that years ago when physicians smoked, physicians who smoked were less likely to counsel patients about smoking and smoking avoidance.
Hmm.
There are, I need to go in a few minutes, but
right.
before I go, I wanted to call two things to the attention of your listeners. One is that next week is Obesity Care Week. It's the annual meeting of the Obesity Society and a second society, the Obesity Medical and Surgical Society here in D.C. And we're asking people to take a pledge, and it's called the Take Five Pledge, to recognize that obesity is a serious disease, that weight bias is faced by many, that healthcare providers aren't talking about their with patients about their weight, and that science-based weight management options are available, and that we need help passing legislation for reimbursement for obesity care, which is a major barrier. The second thing that I wanted to mention was that I'm also the director of the Stop Obesity Alliance here in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And on our website, the Stop Obesity Alliance website, we have a Why Weight Guide that can be found at whyweightguide.org.
Okay.
And this is designed to help primary care providers open a conversation about obesity and points to the kind of language they should use and the need for accommodation to make patients comfortable with office.
Bill, a resource then for physicians who
yes,
who need
exactly.
it. Okay. Bill, I really appreciate your time on this. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Good
You're
to have your
welcome.
View. I'm going to take a call here from Samantha in Minneapolis. And Samantha, thanks so much for waiting. I know it's been a while. What's your experience with this?
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, one of the things, and I have the same issues that I think Patty and a lot of the other callers do with doctors putting the shame on you, and same kind of experience with walking out of my doctor's office in tears because he was constantly touting weight loss surgery. And I think one of the issues that I have is the scale in the doctor's offices. I think it's a very antiquated piece of equipment. I go to a fitness club that offers a scale that actually does a significant body breakdown. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to not just take a look at that number as a whole. How is my body made up? Because I work out a fair bit, and I do a lot of strength training. And, yes, I am definitely heavier than I should be, but we're not taking into account that I have a lot of muscle on my body. It's not all fat, and there are things that I'm doing that are correct. And why don't the doctor's offices have a better scale system to take a look
measure
at
for that.
A much better picture of who you are and not just that you're a number.
Samantha, I wanted to ask you, did you say that you've been to doctors who have pushed surgery? Are you talking about the bariatric surgery on you?
Yes.
Really?
And, you know, same as Patty, I walked out of the office crying every time. And, in fact, I stopped going to that physician. I would go to his physician's assistant because I felt as though she was far more in line with what I was going through and was not so pushy with the surgery. It's,
right.
you know, and I, to be honest, the surgery works well for some people. That's great. But I also know people who have had that surgery and have gained all of their weight
Same
back
here.
And more.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not a perfect fix for everyone.
Patty, how do you feel about this discussion of bariatric surgery between a patient and a physician, especially early on, maybe in the relationship?
Right. I think that it's something that needs to be approached with delicacy, as does this entire topic, and it needs to be part of the sort of the toolbox discussion. You know, let's look at what tools we have available to help you manage your weight. You know, there are eating tools, there are some exercise tools, there are medication tools, there are surgical tools. And we need to find out what is best for you and for your health. I totally agree that I try to stay away from the numbers game for myself. Yes, is the scale important? Of course. Is BMI, which has become another popular number that was designed as a population evaluation tool,
mm-hmm.
not for the individual, I think is overused. The discussion needs to focus on the individual's health. And I think by focusing on health, you have a different motivator. It's not just a number on the scale. It's not feeling ashamed of that number anymore. It's more empowering to talk in terms of what can you do to be healthier. Yeah. And to live your life more fully.
Michelle, I think, is speaking to this when she says on Twitter, it's frustrating to me when doctors give you arbitrary handouts like eat more fruits and vegetables, right? So, Patty, they haven't even asked pretty much what your diet is. And then Michelle says, without really knowing what my diet already looks like, this is not helpful advice. And we got a call from Paolo, who's a surgeon. He says, I deal with reconstruction and plastic surgery. Inevitably, after exams, it comes up. If someone is overweight, we owe it to patients. You can't provide adequate care if you don't tell them about the risks. You have the ethical strength to tell them that. Now, that makes sense, too, Patty. If somebody is having some kind of surgery, not just bariatric, but any kind, the physician has to talk to them transparently about the risks of being overweight, right?
Right. I think that that's right. That's sort of a different discussion than about they have to talk about whatever risks the patient has that are unique to the patient or relevant to that particular patient. That's absolutely right. And I think every doctor should feel empowered to do that. Frankly, I think most people who are undergoing any sort of surgery want to know the risks. And if their weight is one of them, they need to know that.
Right. Call here from David in Minneapolis. Hi, David.
I'm going to get off it right now.
Hey, David. Hi.
Hi. I got to get off my speaker.
Okay, good. Yes.
Hello.
Thanks. Hi. You're a primary care doc. Is that right?
I am. I do sports and orthopedics at the University of Minnesota.
What are you thinking about this?
Well, it's a tough conversation as we've heard so far. And one of the things that, you know, it's a thing that comes up a lot in orthopedics for obvious reasons. A lot of joint problems and pain, back pain, joint problems can come from, you know, and be aggravated by weight. But it doesn't mean that that's always the cause. And so what I always try to do is when, you know, I try to meet the patient where I'm at, and I've heard that a couple times, and I really like that idea because that gives you a starting point to start talking to each other and establishing trust, especially if it's a first time interaction with somebody. You just have to have that sense of it. And then I want to try to figure out what's causing the pain and if it is related to weight or if the weight problem or issue needs to be talked about. We try to get through the learning about what the problem actually is until we get to that point of conversation. So but that's an art form, and that's why that's the art of medicine, and it takes a while for people, especially training physicians, to kind of get there. But I think the other one comment I'll make before I hang up is when I teach our medical students and residents from the U, one of the things I stress is try to give every treatment plan, frame it as a choice to that person, because at the end of the day, it's that person's life and autonomy that needs to be protected as we talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hey, really glad you had a minute to call in. Thanks very much. You know, Patty, I sympathize here with the physician who has the patient who comes in repeatedly with knee pain, which can be obesity related, and the patient is kind of sending off signals about not wanting to talk about weight. The physician at some point has to bring that up. What's your insight on something like that?
Well, I think, again, that I think your last caller's point about building trust is incredibly important. Because if you can build a relationship, say in the example you gave where a physician is seeing a patient more than once, I think you can sensitively and respectfully and compassionately bring up the topic of weight. Maybe it's not even asking about weight per se. Maybe it's talking about eating habits or exercise habits, or what is the pain in your knee keeping you from doing? And what would you like to do? What is going to motivate that person? What are their goals? Does their knee prevent them from, say, getting down on the floor and playing with their grandchildren? Does the pain in their knee prevent them from doing that? And is that something they'd like to do? And I think when you can help the patient, I'm not sure you can provide motivation for the patient, but I think if you can help them find their own motivation, that can go a long way towards moving the conversation in the right direction as well.
Carlos called to say, every time my wife goes to the doctor, he gives her a hard time about being overweight. Eventually, she lost weight, and she's been doing a good job. The last time she went to the doctor, he didn't say anything, which I'm sure she was like, does he notice that I've done this tough task here and I've lost some weight? Patty Neese is with us from as a national board member of the Obesity Action Coalition, and we're discussing a sensitive topic between patients and doctors, this bringing up of weight, actually having a collaborative plan to address weight loss. Patty, I'm going to ask you about something I read as I prepared for the show here from Dr. Elizabeth Poorman. It was published a few years ago in Common Health. She wrote about a patient who she counseled to lose weight, and at a subsequent appointment, the patient came in and it appeared that she had lost weight. In conversation, the doctor learned that she was using these dangerous diet pills, and Dr. Poorman wrote, since then, I have worried that telling patients to lose weight is harming them. These conversations fail to acknowledge how rare weight loss success is. We also continue to equate normal weight with good health in spite of mounting evidence that this is not true. What do you think about her thinking there?
Well, I think she's right that what we consider normal weight is not necessarily indicative of good health, same as anyone carrying excess weight may be in good health as well. It's when your weight causes problems for you that you're no longer in good health and it needs to be addressed. I think this gets back to the idea of the physician who counsels a patient, you need to lose weight, but then doesn't provide the follow-up and support necessary for that to be done in a safe manner. I also think on the patient side, we need to be open to the idea of perhaps not reaching that ideal weight mm-hmm. that you see in the magazine. Mm-hmm. You know, the research is as little, small amounts of weight loss. I think it, you know, obviously if Bill Dietz were here, he could quote you chapter and verse. But I think as in some studies, as little as 3% of your weight of your body weight lost, up to 5 or 10% can make a dramatic difference in your health. And we need to be realistic about that as well. You know, in my case, I've lost a significant amount of weight. I'd like to lose some more. I don't know if that's really going to be possible or if that's in the cards for me. But my health is significantly improved based on the weight loss I've had so far.
Yeah. Phone call here from Heather in Minneapolis. Hi, Heather. Hey, Heather.
Hi.
Are you there? Hi. What's your experience with this or your question for Patty?
Well, thanks for discussing it. And I just wanted to add that within the diabetes community, we see this difference between blaming illnesses and blameless illnesses between type 1 and type 2 diabetics.
Ah.
I, as a type 1, see a big difference in the experience of a lot of the type 2s that I interact with. Just their experience of having a physical condition is very different than mine because of the level of blame associated with their illness.
So the idea is with type 2 diabetes, that is obesity, can be obesity related, and there may be this attitude, well, you gained weight into having type 2 diabetes. It's kind of your fault.
It can be obesity related, and I think that overshadows the fact sometimes that it's just innate. But I was going to ask you if you think that the healthcare system is really set up to offer advice for an individual who might have really specific and highly individualized needs due to a personal issue with their endocrine system. Is that really something that we can believe is possible when the medical community is sort of designed to treat the population as a whole? It's very low-hanging fruit for them to say, just lose weight. It's easy. They'll see better health outcomes in the population if that's possible for people to achieve. But
how to get underneath the more specific issues there. Patty, what do you think?
Well, weight management, weight loss is a perfect area for personalized health. because it has to be so individualized. What works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another. And that's an issue when you apply it to the population. That's a huge issue. And I've been very lucky to have that personalized medicine service in my obesity specialist, but many people don't have that option. And I think that that's something that needs to be addressed as a nation and, in fact, globally.
Patty, do you think there are physicians, and this kind of comes back to what Elizabeth Poorman was saying in that piece, who think, you know, I want to level with patients about how difficult I know this is, and I want to be honest about the fact that it is very hard to keep the weight off, the success rate is low. I guess I'm asking how physicians are realistic with patients in those conversations and yet not discouraging.
I think the realism, it comes from a couple things. One is, you know, be honest. Two is, small amounts of weight loss can help your health.
Okay.
But beyond that, being their partner in it, giving them the support they need. You're not in this alone. You know, many patients walk away from a doctor's office thinking that, and I think a lot of doctors think this is one and done. You lose the weight, you should just magically be able to keep it off.
I see.
But in any other chronic medical condition, we don't think that. We go back to the toolbox. For instance, if someone has cancer, there might be multiple forms of chemotherapy that could be used. You have a discussion with the patient. You decide what route, you jointly decide, shared decision making, you're going to take. And if you take that route in treatment and it doesn't work, do you say, well, too bad, we're done?
Right.
No, you go back to the toolbox and you see what will work again. And I think that's part of the missing, a big piece that's missing.
Rachel says on Twitter, I avoid the doctor even when I'm sick and in pain because I assume my problems would resolve if I lost weight. I hate to waste a doctor's time. Patty, I can't go on without asking you to address that. I mean, it is not healthy that Rachel is not getting medical advice for whatever that pain or illness is. What would you say about how to turn that around for her?
It's tough. Once you've had many, many people with obesity avoid doctors, avoid medical treatment for other conditions, because of experiences like I had with the orthopedist that I started out with.
Right.
And I don't know. I think my best advice would be to try and stand up for yourself. It's very hard to do in the moment. You know, when I was with that orthopedist, I couldn't tell him you're being a jerk and stop. That I had lots of thoughts after the fact of things I would have liked to have said to him.
Uh-huh.
But in that moment, it's very difficult. But if you're more important, you are important, your health is important, you are entitled to be treated with the same amount of dignity and respect as any other patient. And I would just try to insist on that. But it's a difficult emotional hurdle to get over.
Isabel says on Twitter, obesity is an isolating problem. We should look for help, but there's not enough community-based supports for us not to feel alone. And a call here from Carrie in Rochester. Carrie, it sounds like the conversation has been relevant to your life. Is that right?
Yes.
And so what are you thinking about?
Well, you know, honestly, I think I've struggled with weight myself, and I think something I've been working on and have lost 75 pounds now.
Wow.
But I think because I was so sensitive to the topic, everyone around me, family, friends, also knew that, and it was something that it was never talked about. Because of that. And luckily, my doctor, upon going to a checkup, was something that he did say and brought to my attention, both being sensitive and firm, because I think that sometimes we do tend to be a little sensitive on the subject because we know it is a problem, but we just haven't figured out how to fix it. But I think as someone that has struggled with it, I think that we do almost have to expect that conversation to come up with a doctor. You know, it's something as far as, you know, their job, and it's a person that can help you.
Yeah, Carrie, I want to make sure I understand what you're saying here. So as a patient, expect that, maybe open the channel there to the physician, because this really is something that we want them to bring up. Do I hear you right on that?
Yes, yes, because I feel like if we're oversensitive about the subject, and I have been at that point, no one will bring it up. And it almost seems, you know, I guess I don't know if this is a good correlation, I guess, but almost like, you know, if you are an alcoholic, well, if no one brings it up to you that you have a drinking problem, you know, you go on about your life and it might get worse. And to me, it's almost the same. For my doctor to bring it up and to say, you know, we got to figure something out, it was, you know, a turning point for me, because before then, nobody was ever saying anything. Nobody was ever encouraging, because it was such a touchy subject, and everybody was afraid to upset me. Wow. Or to, you know, make me feel bad about myself. But in reality, I think that conversation was what I needed.
Carrie, really good to have your call. Thank you very much. I'm really glad you heard the show. Patty, all the advice and all the encouragement, thank you. Really good to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Patty Neese is an advocate on weight bias and a national board member of the Obesity Action Coalition.